WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Only one of the many gun control bills proposed in the General Assembly has survived, but some form of Medicaid expansion looks more likely. We also profile a Woodstock World War II vet who is still flying and saving lives. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, February 16th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Gun violence is back in the news this week. It's also a topic that lawmakers in Richmond are debating. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the latest from the Capitol.
Universal background checks? Nope. A ban on bump stocks? No way. Keeping guns away from people who are a threat to themselves or others? Uh-uh. Lawmakers have already rejected all of that, and when Democratic Delegate Marcus Simon of Fairfax County introduced a bill to create a new Stop Gun Violence license plate, Republicans amended it to raise money for mental health.
Yeah, they were trying to make the point that we don't really have a gun violence problem, we have a mental health problem. I think that's wrong. We actually have a gun violence problem, and it is, in fact, about the instrument.
Gun safety bills have all been shot down this year. But one gun bill is still moving forward, a bill introduced by Republican Senator Ben Chafin of Russell County that would allow guns in churches during worship services.
Virginia has this archaic law that says you're not supposed to have a firearm in the church. Even if the faith leaders of the church, even if the people that own the church, even if the people that control the church want to have some members of their church provide protection.
A similar bill was killed in the House by sending it back to a committee, which allowed members to avoid going on the record for or against the bill. Now they still might have to cast a vote on it if Chafin's bill gets to the House floor. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
The only gun control bill to get through Virginia's Senate this session has to do with closing a loophole for youth with mental illness. From partner station WCVE, Megan Pauley reports.
Minors ages 14 to 18 who've been subject to involuntary emergency mental health treatment lose their firearm rights. But when they turn 18, those firearm restrictions disappear. That's a loophole in Virginia's law that Democratic Senator Cree Deeds says he heard about from a Stafford County resident.
A man contacted me and said his son had tried to take his life a couple of times as a juvenile, had been subject to a TDO order. He talked about getting a gun, talked about buying a gun. When he was 18, he went and legally bought a gun, and tragic circumstances ensued.
Deeds has a bill that would close that loophole. It's passed the Senate unanimously and is now headed to the House. Megan Pauley, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
The chances of Virginia joining a majority of states that have expanded Medicaid have increased significantly after a key GOP lawmaker flipped positions on the issue. Republican Delegate Terry Kilgore said Thursday that he changed his mind after years of opposition to Medicaid expansion and now supports it. Kilgore said his change of heart was due partly to President Donald Trump's embrace of work requirements for low-income people on Medicaid. The powerful lawmaker from southwestern Virginia could help provide political cover for other Republicans to support expansion. Republicans have blocked Medicaid expansion in Virginia for years, saying its long-term costs were unsustainable, but they have softened their opposition this year after a Democratic wave helped elect several new lawmakers who campaigned specifically on expanding Medicaid. Also, a federal appeals court has found that President Donald Trump's latest ban on travelers from six largely Muslim countries is unconstitutional. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond said Thursday that it examined statements made by Trump and other administration officials, as well as the ban itself, and concluded that it is, quote, unconstitutionally tainted with animus toward Islam. The court upheld a ruling by a federal judge in Maryland who issued an injunction barring enforcement of the ban against people from Chad, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen who have bona fide relationships with people in the U.S. The U.S. Supreme Court has already agreed to hear the travel ban case in April. In December, the high court said the ban could be fully enforced while appeals made their way through the courts. 100 years ago this November, the First World War came to an end. All of those who fought are now gone. But Virginia's Historical Society wants Americans to remember what that conflict meant on the battlefield and here at home. As Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Houseman reports, a special exhibit opens this weekend.
Nearly 4 million Americans joined the military to fight the war in Europe, and millions more did their part on the home front.
Over there, send the word over there.
Andrew Talkoff is vice president for exhibitions at the Virginia Historical Society.
There are over 100 objects in this show, one of which is a chair from the deck of the Lusitania, which was the famous ship that was sunk by a German submarine in 1915.
And he says visitors will discover the central role played by Virginia in a war that raged from 1914 to 1918.
Virginia, after 50 years of being somewhat isolated by the outcome of the American Civil War, fully rejoins American society and becomes much more industrialized with the expansion of shipbuilding in the Newport News area and the building of army installations that are still with us today, places like Fort Lee.
The World War I Centennial Exhibition runs through November. I'm Sandy Houseman.
And the Virginia Historical Society just announced a name change. It will soon be known as the Virginia Museum of History and Culture. Well, there is one World War II vet who is not only thriving, he's still flying at the ripe young age of 94. World War II pilot John Billings is still flying with a co-pilot friend transporting medical patients for treatment. WMRE's Christopher Clymer Kurtz has this profile.
We'll spot a sun over there.
Yep. Spot right there.
That's John Billings and Nevin Showman from a video of their last Angel Flight mission in 2017, flying back into Luray.
Dancing around the maypole.
I love it.
I talked with them in Woodstock, in the addition to his century-old home, where Billings spends a lot of time when he's not flying. You take the stairs to the second story, to an unassuming door.
This is my closet.
And then through a catwalk hallway and into a high-ceilinged, expansive room above his woodworking and metal lathe shop.
Wow, what a place.
There's a cozy stove burning in the corner, an entertainment center, busy office desks for him and his wife Barbara, bookshelves. We sit down, Billings, his co-pilot and friend Nevin Showman, a couple cats, and Billings offers a friendly warning.
When I get started talking about flying, I forget what time it is. I have a philosophy. Every minute that your feet are off the ground, don't count. So do as much as I can.
Billings was a military and commercial pilot, but now volunteers his skills and his own plane to transport medical patients. He first rode in an airplane more than 90 years ago.
My father took me on a ride around an airport. He went out to the local field, and I mean a field. It was a half mile on the side, field, grass, some places no grass. But no runways or anything like that. And that was called an airport. And there was a sign out front that said, air rides here. I can still plainly see all of what was going on.
In World War II, Billings flew 14 mass bombing missions, plus 39 covert missions. He said a lot of other pilots didn't survive nearly that many.
Statistically, I shouldn't be here. I'm glad I am.
On one trip called Operation Greenup, Billings dropped a three-man spy team into Nazi territory in the Austrian Alps. It's a story that's been recounted in the Washington Post, and Billings himself tells about that flight in an online video.
I went on to what was called war emergency power that we could use for 5 minutes under an emergency condition. Well, I decided this was an emergency condition. So I put it up there. That wasn't enough, and we're still going down.
After the war, Billings was a commercial pilot until the 1980s. Then in 2005, he took on a new flying passion in his own Cessna Cutlass. Angel Flight Mid-Atlantic is a nonprofit that matches volunteer pilots willing to donate their time and aircraft to patients in need of transport to medical care. Billings has now made well over 400 Angel flights. For the last 8 years, most frequently with Nevin Showman, an Edinburgh TV and electronics repairman only three-fifths his age, who also loves to fly. They said the Angel flight requires pilots over age 75 to have a co-pilot.
But, for the record...
And Showman keeps their records.
He does not need me in the airplane, legally or otherwise. He is fully legal and capable of better than any other pilot I've ever flown with.
One of their Angel flight passengers was Richard Norris. In 2012, he received an extensive face transplant. And leading up to and throughout his surgeries, he said Billings and Showman flew him from Southern Virginia to Baltimore quite a few times.
We flew through some bad storms. We flew through strong headwinds. And with John's experience, you know, his days in World War II, and then Ned's experience as well, we felt safe.
And they do it because they love to, he said, paying forward their own good fortune, expecting only a thank you in return.
And like you said, truly blessed that there are people out there that understand the needs of others and are willing to help out. And all they expect in return is a thank you.
Billings can't quite say what it is about flying an airplane that draws him so intensely.
It is a living, inanimate device. And if I'm here and it's over there, then it's nothing. But if I'm in it, I become it. We become one.
It's almost like romantic touch, he said.
The wax is going every which way. That's the closest I can... I'm still searching for my best flight. It's just over the hill. That probably is going to be the finest one I'm going to have, right?
Right.
He has already scheduled a flight for his 100th birthday, and he remembers a commercial co-pilot he flew with.
He died after his 105th, and his last words were, "I guess that's just the end of my flying days." So that's a goal to overcome, right?
For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Cruz.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.